In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Well, it's good to see everybody today. You made it through the cold weather and the mist and the fog and all the nastiness that's outside. It's certainly good to be inside with each of you. You know, I think that Christians are known for a lot of stuff, right? Hopefully for being humble, for forgiving, for being charitable, and above all, for almsgiving, right? It's a pretty Christian virtue, giving to the poor, to the needy. But when Christ talks to us about giving to the poor, it was never about ending poverty. Right? He's not saying, go give to the poor to try to end poverty. In fact, we remember the story of the woman who came and with an alabaster, a flask of alabaster, came to Christ and anointed his feet and all this stuff, and some of the disciples were really upset, and he said, we could have sold that and given it to the poor. And he said, of course, the poor you will always have with you, but not me. So Christ is saying, you're always going to have poverty. There's always going to be poor people out there. It's because Christ knew he didn't come to build a utopia on earth. He didn't come to end poverty and make everyone equal in some, you know, idea that, you know, there's no more poor people on the street, there's no more homelessness. But instead, he came for a very specific and different mission. He says, my kingdom's not of this world. So he's calling us out of the world and into his kingdom. And we know that it's God who provides. And it's God alone from good that all good comes. And Christ talked about that today. You know, this ruler comes to him and says, teacher. I don't know if you noticed, but whenever in the Gospels, when they're wanting to test Christ, whether it be the Pharisees or whoever, they always come and call him teacher. Teacher. But we know that, that good comes from God, that God is the source of all good. It comes from him. He gives to all creation out of the abundance of who he is. This is a really important thing to think about. That Christ gives because he is, right? We've talked about it before. Being perfect doesn't mean you're a good little boy or girl. It means you're full, you're complete, you lack nothing. And saying that God is perfect and he calls us to be perfect like him means that he wants us to be complete, to be whole, to lack nothing. Think about that perfect wedding cake. If you add one more flower or take one away, it won't be perfect anymore. And that's who God is. He's perfect. And out of the fullness of who he is, he gives us all that he has. It's abundance. And so what he's calling us to do is to be like him, to be perfect like him, to give of who we are for the benefit of others. When we give of ourselves, of our time, of our energy, and our money, we give it for the benefit of others, we are being like him. We are imitating who he is. Does it make sense? It's not about ending poverty. It's not about being a good boy or girl. It's being like God. We are called to be like him. And in that way, when we give of ourselves for the sake of the other, which is what love is, by the way, love is giving for the benefit of the other, then we are being like him. And that's what he's calling this man to do, not just to follow a bunch of commandments, not just of course, don't commit adultery, don't steal, honor father and mother, right? Do all those things. But he says all those things aren't the end of it. It's not the end. The end is to give all that you have for the benefit of someone else. And this is the really key important thing about why does he always say give to the poor? If God wanted to, he can make manna come down from heaven to feed those people. He did it to the Israelites. So why is he asking us to give to the poor? Because they can't pay them back. Keep in mind, every one of you here, if I loaned you $30, there's a chance you might give it back to me. If I gave you $30, you might be my friend, and maybe when I need help with something at my house, you might come over and help me to pay me back. But when you give to the poor, they have nothing to pay back. They can keep in mind, these are poor first century, right? Roman. These aren't like poor like today. These are nothing. They're destitute. They're living outdoors. They're begging. They're blind. They're lepers. And so we are being called to let it go, to give it to those who can never pay it back. Christ says that in other places, loan, give without expecting anything in return. That's what he's teaching us today. There's a really amazing thing that happens. I don't know about y'all, but when I try to give out of love for my neighbor, something really crazy happens. I can't do it. I really struggle to love my neighbor and to love God. We try to give it, we try to give our riches to others, and we go to realize that we don't have riches. We're poor. We are the poor. We are poor in charity. We are poor in mercy. We are poor in love. We are poor in patience. We are poor in virtue. Everyone here is poor. Don't, you know, we have this mindset in the West where we have, just so you know, we love money in the West. We love it. We have this this God out there, this modern God we call the economy. We're always worshiping and falling down before. Oh, the economy. How's the economy today? Oh, the economy's good. But the poverty that we face is not just monetary poverty, but poor in virtue, poor in goodness, poor in love. And Christ in his mercy sees our poverty, and he does that very thing he commands the ruler to do. He says, sells all that he has, and he condescends in his divinity to our nature, and he takes up his cross, and in dying and rising from the dead, he gives us the very thing we need, the thing that we can never repay. We can never pay back what he's given to us. All we can do is approach him with humility and gratitude and thanks, which we just had the Feast of Thanksgiving here recently. And say, thank you, Lord. I am that poor man. You have sold all that you have. You have condescended to my nature. You have raised my nature up to the heights of heaven. And now my nature sits at the right hand of God. Christ told the ruler in the story today, in the gospel today, to be like him. And that's the takeaway from the gospel today. The takeaway from the gospel today isn't that we need to go out and end poverty. The gospel today is about being like Christ and doing whatever it takes to take care of our neighbor. And sometimes that means money. Sometimes that means patience. Sometimes that means kindness. Sometimes that means giving someone a phone call to check on them, to take them some soup when they're not feeling well, to give them your spot at the fellowship table, to let them go first, to listen to them, just give them your time. What's the more precious thing in our life but time? I can make more money. I can't make more time. But if I'm going to spend my time with you, I'm giving you the gift, the greatest gift of all. He calls us to be rich like him with his riches. And while we are impoverished in and of ourselves, we are rich in him. And because of him and in him, we have the ability to give to one another. The love that we give to one another is his love that he gives to us. It's his riches that he deposits into his treasury, which is his kingdom. We find ourselves in the stormy tempest of life. We find ourselves on that ship that is falling apart. And that ship, it's an allegory for this world, just, you know, to come right out and say it. And we are tempted to cling to it, to that falling apart ship that's sinking in the ocean. And although we know that it will fail us, and it is failing us even now, this life is failing us. And it's only that Christ our God is good and remains above the storm-tossed waters. It is Christ who is the dry land. And it takes a lifetime of us letting go of the things of this world to cling to Christ. To let go of our greed and our selfishness and our covetousness and our insecurity and our anxiety and our worry about all these things. To let it all go and cling to Christ. So it takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime of detachment from this world, letting go of the sinking ship and to step on the dry land of his kingdom, the security of his salvation. We make this transition from a dying world into the eternal kingdom of God. And we no longer put our trust in money, power, prestige, education, family, and friends. And think of the words of Nahum, where he says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He protects those who take refuge in him, even in a rushing flood. So the Lord calls us today to take up our cross and to follow him. And that's a part of that gospel passage we often miss. He says, sell all you have and follow me. Where are you going, Jesus? To the cross. And I want you to follow me up on the cross. And so we must take up our cross today and follow him. To be like him, to die with him, to rise with him into eternal life. And this process of rising with him in his kingdom begins when any of y'all read the Ladder of Divine Ascent by St. John Climacus? Just read the first four, just do those. If any of us here can just do the first four rungs on the ladder, we're doing great. They may actually say we're good people. We begin by renouncing the things of this world, step one, being detached from them, step two, and then living as a stranger in this world. And the fourth rung, of course, is obedience. We jump from the sinking ship of this world into the safety of eternity. We let go so that we might grasp and live. And by letting go of our, and this is the command that he's calling that poor man to do today, to let go of his money. By giving it to the poor man, knowing he could never repay it, he's literally letting it go. He's letting go of his desire for riches. He's letting go of his trust in wealth. He's letting go of his trust in anything other than God. And so for us here today, what is that thing we cling to? Is it money, like this ruler? Is it politics? Is it our family? Is it our family? But wait, you're supposed to love your family, right? Do we cling to them as our salvation? Or do we cling to Christ? So let's let go of all of that stuff we're hanging on to. You know, so this is a really easy message because here in a little while, we're going to say, we the cherubim, you know, lay aside all earthly cares. Let it go. Let it go and cling to Christ. You can't serve two gods. You can't serve mammon. You can't serve family. You can't serve nation. You can't serve your education. You can't serve all these things and serve Christ. Only Christ is our God and our safety and our refuge. So may God bless us today, especially right now in the middle of the liturgy. I know you all do it because I do it too. In the middle of the liturgy, your mind wanders to something else. You're thinking about this or that, all that stuff I got to do, or thinking about the person behind you is being loud, or the person or whatever is going on. You know, I used to joke. I said the demons aren't in the altar; they're in the choir. they're tempting everyone in the choir. Not they're angels singing in the choir, but they're really tempting you, and they're tempting everyone else. Keep your mind and your heart focused on Christ today, and don't lose sight on Him. Remember the riches that He offers us far exceeds anything that we can ever obtain in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One God.